glad. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible says, Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think that means you know, and you should know, that you can go to God and he will help you. Come to God, pray to God, say, God, help me. Whatever you're down, just come to him. Know that he's there for you to help you. So when you leave, and just know, anytime you're down, you can look up, you can say, God, help me, please. You can pray to him. So, with that, let's have a great service, and God bless.
Good morning. Good morning. So many few here today. Anyway, let's worship God together here, and we are few. This is still the Lent season. We are in the fifth Sunday of Lent. And the next week is Palm Sunday. That starts the Easter week. So generally we have a Maundy Thursday service at 6 o'clock with Holy Communion. And I don't know how many of you can join. We will be here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. The Friday, Good Friday is next day. So the day before Good Friday is Maundy Thursday. So let me know if you can be here. We will have a service and a Holy Communion. And then we have something called stripping of the sanctuary. I don't know if you have seen that last time. We strip all the sanctuary until Easter morning. And then we'll put all of them new, fresh, white linens on Sunday morning. So we'll plan on that for Maundy Thursday, Thursday night at 6 o'clock for the service. And Easter Sunday, we'll have special service. Wayne has already arranged with the Hispanic folks that we'll be joining together, and we'll have some music and a great service for Sunday for Easter. The regular announcements are still on the bulletin. There's nothing special there. The third Thursday luncheon is going to be April 17th at the Golden Corral. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. Thank you for your continued and faithful support. The ministries of the church, we accept our donations through our website. As we continue with the Lent week, Lent started on Ash Wednesday. It's 40 days of Lent. I will explain all of that in the message. Then it usually ends on Maundy Thursday. And many people have some kind of a Lent practice that they do, like reject certain things and renounce certain things in their lives, and may sometimes they fast and study the Word of God. It's a focused spiritual reflection during these days. So we continue with that, and that we can stay closer to God during these days. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any other announcements? If not, we will worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 364, Because He Lives. Because he lives.
life is worth living just because He lives. Now sweet new home, a newborn baby, and fill the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the God has shown us His child.
Please bow your heads for the opening prayer. Dear Lord, we come before You seeking peace. Fill our hearts with Your peace that surpasses all understanding. Calm our anxieties and worries, and help us to focus solely on You during this time of worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
So fellowship time now, if you have, please get up and greet each other in Christian love.
Hello, women.
Good morning.
Start back tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, our congregation choice today is in the red book, page 63. This is one of Carol's favorites. So she's going to sing the first verse, and then you guys are going to join her on verses 2 and 3.
Where's the thing?
Okay. So,
okay.
Page 63 in the red book, just a closer walk with thee. As I said, Carol will sing the first verse, and then we'll join her on 2 and 3.
Thank you for listening, and listen, come on in with me, sing with me, if you know the words. If you don't know the words, just sing as loud as you can under la, 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 okay?
Verses 1 through 9.
To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest, if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit.
Hear the voice of my supplication, as I cry to you, O God, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary.
Take me not away with the wicked, with those who are workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors, while mischief is in their hearts.
Prepare them according to their work, and according to the evil of their deeds.
Repay them according to their work of hands, of their hands. Render them their due award.
The Lord will break them down and build them up no more, because they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, or the work of the Lord's hands.
Blessed be the Lord, who has heard the voice of my supplicants.
The Lord is my strength and shield, in whom so I am helped and my heart exults, and with my soul I give thanks to the Lord.
The Lord is the strength of the people, the saving refuge of his anointed.
O save your people, and bless their heritage, be their shepherd, and carry them forever.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we come to the prayer time now, God has given one more week in our life, one more day to live in this world. It's a gift from God. And also, as children of God, we have the privilege that God has given us to go to him with our requests, and also to pray for others' needs also. It's called intercession. We can intercede for other people's needs and their requests. So as we come before God, please turn with me to the back of the bulletin for the regular prayer items listed there. Please pray for these people and these items and their regular prayers posted in your prayer time place where you pray regularly. And many of our folks are not here, maybe because of the weather. I know Miss Lou is traveling. She will be out for this Sunday and next Sunday. So please keep all of those people in our prayers who are traveling. Pray for Jean McPrayer and Grace Saints, Harry, Carol, Jerry Raines, George Richard Jones, and Thomas John, and Sean and Amy Conway. Continue to pray for the family of Tiffany and Wes, who passed away. Please pray for peace and comfort during this time. And also keep our prayers for the earthquake victims in Southeast Asia. Let's pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many other people who help us and serve us on a daily basis behind the scenes. Let us pray that God will keep them safe and pray for their family safety. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and governors, and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. It will be good for the people. Pray for the world leaders, and they make decisions also. They will fear God and be guided by the gift, power of the Holy Spirit when they make decisions also, that will bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church and all the churches in this community, that God gives us the opportunity to do his work in this community. Let us do it faithfully, that God will give us the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do it faithfully. Pray for all the pastors or the ministers in this community and around the world. Those are the requests that I have to share. Are there any other requests to add on? Any calls? Prayers? If there are no special call-outs, let's go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we read, according to Paul, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time that you have given us as your children to worship here together, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life and the many blessings that you blessed us with. Thank you for keeping us safe every day and sustaining us with all the needs that we have in our lives. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection even when we are not aware of it, O God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Even when we were unfaithful, you having left us abandoned, your promise is still with us that you will never leave us or forsake us. We come before you as your children with our needs and our brokenness. Many of us have many different needs and brokenness at this time that we want to bring before you, O God. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us. And we trust in your promise that you will answer all of our prayers according to your will and your time. We bring up all of those who need healing in their bodies, particularly the ones that we have named here. Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Jerry, Sean and Amy. We pray for George Richard Jones and Thomas John. And we pray for all of those who are struggling with various health issues like that. We pray for your special healing hand to touch them, O God. We also pray for the family who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Bless them with your peace that passeth all understanding. We pray for your grace upon them and their families. We pray for the earthquake victims in the Southeast Asia. A lot of people are suffering, Lord. We pray that your grace be upon them. Comfort them, Lord, especially the relief workers and the many others who are working in the rescue teams. We pray for your grace upon them to be safe and patient. We continue to lift them up, Lord. We pray that your grace and comforting presence be with all those who are struggling with those issues. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks and delivery people and many, many others who are serving us. We thank you for their services. We pray that you will keep them safe and their families safe. We pray for our nation, pray for our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit, make the right decisions that will bring good for our people and to also for the world. We pray for the world leaders also, as they make decisions, they will fear God and bring peace to this world. We thank you for this church and the ministry that you have given us to do here, Lord. We pray that you will be with us and guide us with your Holy Spirit there, as we look forward to work in this community, to share your love, to use the opportunities that you give us faithfully. We pray for all the churches and ministers in this area. We pray for your grace upon them, that they will also be faithful in the work that they do. We pray for all the missionaries and workers in your vineyard around the world, especially the ones who are facing many difficulties and oppositions in many parts of the world. Bless them with your grace and empower with the Holy Spirit. Be with us today, Lord. We pray that you will keep those safe, those who are traveling, especially Lou who is traveling and all those who are traveling like that. Give them travel mercies. Be with us also as we worship today, Lord, to lift up your name, to glorify your name in our singing, in our meditation of the word and the holy communion that we take today, Lord. We pray that you'll bless each and every one of us according to your word and your guidance, and that we will be blessed by your presence as we go from this place. We thank you for your presence again. Thank you for blessing us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings and many gifts that you give us, and we acknowledge that. We just want to be able to give back a little bit to you, and we pray that the offering will be used for the betterment of your kingdom and to help those who need it. And we just pray for those who were able to give and those who were not able to give, and just please bless us all. So we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can remain standing for the scripture. It's going to be from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us for our life and our spirit. As we come before your word, O Lord, help us to be humble. Open our hearts and minds so that we can receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today, Lord. As we continue with the Lent season, as we reflect on our lives, that we can be more close to you during these days of Lent. We can be more loving and more caring and more compassionate to spread your love in this world. We thank you again for this time that you have given us, Lord, to meditate on your word. Help us, Lord, to understand the word and obey that in our lives, that it can be a blessing to others. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture we read today is the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I hope during this time that we have been looking at the book of Ephesians, you were able to read at least one book completely during this Lent season. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus to keep them in their faith stronger. Paul's mission and work was mainly in the non-Jewish world. They used to call them Gentiles. So he went to minister in the Asia Minor, Turkey, Greece, then eventually in Rome. He established churches there, and Ephesus was one of the churches that he established. And we can read all of that in the book of Acts, how he went there with other people and established those churches. So we were looking at Ephesians as a book for study this Lent because it has a lot of instructions about our faith and how to live our lives as Christians in this world, which is what we do reflect during this time of Lent. The time of Lent is 40 days from, generally churches observe that from Ash Wednesday till Maundy Thursday, 40 days, excluding Sundays. So when you count all the days, it will be like 40 something. So exclude the Sundays. That's how the church established the 40 days of Lent. The 40 days Because we practice it because Jesus was tempted in the desert by the devil. He went and fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. That's another one thing. Then many other things in the Bible have 40 days as significant. So I think that is why the church chose the 40 days. Moses was up in the mountain with God when he received the Ten Commandments. That was 40 days. And then the people of Israel were in the wilderness wandering around so many years. So that is another thing that we remember during this time of Lent, to study the Word of God and to meditate on it and reflect on our lives and to stay focused on our faith. Today, the last chapter, when we read in the sixth chapter, he talks about the wearing the full armor of God. The armor of God, he compares that to the armor of a soldier. A soldier will never go to the battlefield without wearing armor, some kind of a uniform, so they'll be prepared for the war. And life is pretty much a battlefield. Probably you have heard that life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. A teenager was going for something out for a party or something, and she was wearing makeup, and it was taking a long time. And she was wearing makeup all about 30, 45 minutes, and the mother said, "What are you doing there? It's too long. Mom, you don't understand. It is a battlefield out there." So she's trying to stay fit for the battle by making up to make presentable to others. So life is not just a playground, but it's also a battlefield. We may forget at times that this is true. The spiritual war is real as it is the physical war. Every day that we wake up in the morning, we have to be prepared to face the realities and the stresses of our life every day. I don't have to tell you. You go to work, you work with people, you have to do this and that at home, and you work with your family. A lot of things come every day in our routines, and they are not easy. So that's why we talked about the time. Use our time wisely. We have 24 hours God has given us, and you know how many minutes that is? You can multiply that and find out. We talked about that last Sunday. Time wisely. Because God gives us this time every day as a deposit, and we have to redeem it to make it useful. Like we redeem our coupons, our discount offers. If you don't redeem it, you will lose it. Opportunities that God gives us will not be there forever. Grab it and use it, whatever way it comes. Not only the advancement opportunities in our life to be successful, but also to be caring for others. Opportunities that God gives us to be redeemed. And then he talks about, in chapter 5, he talks about how do we live in this world as a family. He talks a lot about how we live as families here in chapter 5. I didn't take chapter 5 as a message, because it is all talking about how parents raise their children and how the children will have to be obedient to their parents. All of that things are listed in chapter 5. And also chapter 5 talks about wives and husbands. How wives, in chapter 5 verse 22 we read, "Wives, submit yourself to your husbands." And then says, "Husbands, love your wives." Then he says to children, "Obey your parents. This is right in the sight of the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you'll be blessed in your life, with a long life." Then he talks about fathers. Do not make your kids angry. I don't know if that is easy. So he talks about every single thing in our household, how we need to discipline ourselves. Do not exasperate or frustrate your children. And then he talked to children about obeying the parents. Then he also talks about workers. Obey your earthly masters and respect them. As Christians, we ought to respect our bosses, whoever it is, in our workplace. It may not be good sometimes, it may not be easy sometimes. But as people of faith, we have to be model workers wherever we are, to show others how faithful you are in your workplace. You know, you don't work for somebody. Yes, you are working for a boss or a company. But ultimately, your job is you're working for the Lord, where He places you. God gave you the opportunity and the job. So that's how we look at our job. So He's talking about workers, be faithful and obey your masters. And then He talked to the masters, be kind and treat your workers the same way. And do not threaten them or harm them. He talks of all of these things in chapter 5. And then comes to chapter 6, we read, finally, He said, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, and then put on the full armor of God. In order to live all of these things that He talked about in the family, in the workplace, in the society as Christians of people of faith, we have to put on this armor of God, because it's a battlefield. It's not easy to practice all these things that He told you. And He says that. That is why He says you cannot do by it yourself. You have to trust in God and put on the full armor of faith. So, putting the full armor of faith is an illustration that He gives about a soldier who goes to the war, has to have a proper training. If he doesn't have the proper training, and if he doesn't have the armor put on correctly, he can be easily won over by the enemy. So recognizing our battle is also recognizing our enemy. Many times we are confused who our enemy is. Who is our enemy? A neighbor who is not good to you? Sometimes we consider them as enemies. A co-worker who is not working well with you, or a boss who is always trying to give you a hard time, are they our enemies? As people of faith, Christians are not to be considering other people as enemies. They are not be easy to deal with or work with, but never, never we should treat anybody as enemies. Because God considers everybody as His children. So we are brothers and sisters in Christ no matter what we are. So the real enemy is not people. It is that evil out there is the real enemy. That we need to recognize it. So acknowledging that it is a battlefield, and also understanding who the real enemy is. Do not be confused. It is not just people. It is not just circumstances. But there is an evil force out there, always fighting against our good nature that God has given us. Knowing our true enemy will help us fight effectively with the spiritual weapons that God provides. In Corinthians, Paul wrote another letter to Corinthians where he says that the weapons we fight with in the spiritual battle are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. So in order to fight a spiritual battle, you have to be spiritually prepared. The spiritual preparation comes from trusting God, not on our own ability or our own might to fight. So the full armor of God that we talked about here is talking about 6 pieces of armor. A soldier in those days needed all of these 6 armors he had to wear to be prepared for battle. The first one, he's talking about the belt. We all see the policemen wearing belts, right? Why do they wear belt? I mean, we all wear belt to hold our clothes up. But a policeman or a soldier wears belt more than that, for more reasons than that. What do they have on their belt? Have you noticed it? They have a lot more other things on their belt. They have their gun, they have a stick, they have first aid. I mean, you name it. When they put on that belt, they're probably putting on another 20 pounds on their body. So they're not putting their belt on to hold on to their pants or trousers. I had the opportunity to work for GBI at one point in my life, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, as a forensic expert. And we were supposed to be licensed and certified as peace officers. And one of the things that we had to do was to carry a gun. and I did not like it much, but we had to carry a gun, hidden gun. So we have to be certified every 3 months. And we have to go to the GBI headquarters in Forsyth, Georgia, Macon, near Macon, and we have to practice and show the shooting to make sure that we are certified. And every time we go there, there's some of these people who have never touched that gun since the last time they came to certify. It's very dangerous to shoot next before them. Because one time, we had a woman who probably in the same situation. We were all lined up on the shooting range, and all of a sudden, they're like 10 feet in front of us, the dust started blowing all over her, all the body. She shot right in front of us. So that is when you have to be prepared and well-trained to do the battle. And what I was saying, that you have to carry this gun on your belt. And every time I tell my family, the hardest thing is not carrying the gun. It is when you go to the bathroom. When you take, the whole pants will drop because the hard gun is there. It's so heavy. I hated it. So you have to be careful with all those things. So what I'm saying is, the soldiers carry pounds and pounds of material on their belt. It is not just to look good or anything. It is to be prepared for the battle. And the same thing is, Paul is talking to the people of faith who are in a battlefield with the evil forces in this world. You have to be wearing a belt. And he's saying that the belt of truth. Truth is the belt that holds everything together, that carries everything with you. You have to be truthful. And we talked about that in one of the lessons we discussed. Truth never changes. Lies will change always. Lies will change always. Truth is ultimate and will have never changed. Truth is truth. So we are the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way and the life. And one who follow me, follow the truth. So we are following the truth, and we have to be wearing the belt of truth. And then he's talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate is something that the soldiers cover. Now you probably don't see that on the outside, but many police officers were inside. That is called bulletproof vest, because they didn't have guns at the time. They had only swords and arrows probably. So they were wearing breastplates with brass or metal breastplates, so the arrows or the swords, they can be safe from those. Now we can call them bulletproof vest. So that's the breastplate. And Paul is saying that a Christian's breastplate, like a soldier's breastplate, is the breastplate of righteousness. That because God gave us the righteousness, the justice of God, he gave us as righteous people when he forgave our sins, we accepted God in our lives, Jesus in our lives, he removed all of our sins, and we are wearing the righteousness of God. So not only we are truthful people, but we are also righteous people. We will stand up for righteousness, we'll stand up for justice, we'll stand up for truth. We have to be strong soldiers of faith when we live out our life in this world. Then he talks about the shoes. You cannot go to battle without having a shoes. And you cannot even imagine how you can survive without shoes. But if you are in water, sometimes you have to take off your shoes and try. But you have to be trained. But he's talking of the shoes of a Christian warrior, a faithful servant of God, is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And in the Bible, many places we talk about the people's whose feet are how beautiful the feet of the people who spread the news of peace. So we are peace warriors, basically. We don't fight to win, we fight to bring peace. We fight the evil forces, taking a strong stand for justice and righteousness in this world, so that we can fight the evil forces and bring peace and justice to this world. So that is what he's talking about. The shoes is the gospel of peace. Wherever we go, our shoes, take a look at our shoes and say, hey, we are here to bring peace, not war, not hatred. We are here to bring love and peace and care. And then he talks about the shield of faith. Like just the breastplate, shield also is that some the soldiers carry on their hand. A shield that you will protect yourselves from attacks from other people, from the enemies. And in those days, I read that when there's like a huge army of enemies come across, they can lock these shields together and then become a big barrier of fortress in front of them. These are big, big shields that they carry. You can lock them and become a big barrier fort against them. So he's talking the shield of a Christian warrior is our faith. We have that shield that in front of us. Sometimes there are situations and circumstances in our lives that will threaten our faith. I don't have to tell you. Every day we have situations in our lives that will threaten our faith. But we have to carry the shield of faith to be strong in the war that we are fighting in this world. And he also talks about the helmet of salvation. Many of our soldiers, many of our police officers don't wear the helmets, but we can see when there's riots or actual war happening, the soldiers wear helmets. And lately, the helmets have not just protecting power, it's the whole communication system within inside. They can talk to other people, they can talk on the radio, wireless. It's a whole communication system that they have in their helmet lately. And it's a very complicated helmet. It's not just a simple helmet, as you see. It protects your head. It's a communication system built in with a lot of other things. And they have night goggles and things that they can see at night. And there's so much complicated stuff in that helmet. Also, Paul is saying that we need to wear the helmet, which for a Christian is the helmet of salvation. God has given the helmet of salvation, that we can continue to be strong in our fight against the evil. And then he talks about the sword to fight against. That's the only offensive weapon in this list. And what is the sword of a soldier, of a Christian soldier of faith? It is the word of God. It's the word of God is the double-edged sword. That's what the Bible says. It can cut both ways. We are carrying a weapon that can cut both ways. It can hurt the enemy, the evil one, and also it can hurt yourself. The scripture, the word of God, is a double-edged sword. That's what the Bible says. And if we are not careful with it, it can hurt yourself and others. So that is the only offensive weapon that Paul is talking about in all of these things. So we have six items of armor that we talked about in this. And then he said, if you wear all of these things, you will be prepared for the battle that you have to wage against the evil in this world. Jesus used scripture, the word, to defeat the devil while he was in the wilderness being tempted. He used the word of God. The devil also used the word of God against Jesus. But, you know, the devil also knows Bible, not just us. He knows Bible probably better than many Christians. So he will come with all kinds of tricks to distract you or defeat you. You have to be using and meditating on the word of God regularly. Spend some time every day in meditating on the word of God. Then finally he says in verse 18 that pray continuously. Praying in the spirit, verse 18. Every piece of armor is empowered through prayer. Like I told you, a communication system that is within the helmet that they're carrying is very important. You have to stay in connection, in touch with the command center, where you are, what commands you get from your commanding officer, like an astronaut that goes to the space. Their main lifeline is their communication system. If they lose communication system, they are lost. Same with the airplanes. They always have to stay in touch. The communication, our communication system is prayer. To stay in touch with God, He is the source of our power. Prayer is not to please God. Many times we think that we feel guilty. Oh, I didn't pray today, so I feel guilty. Prayer is not to feel guilty. Don't pray because you feel guilty about it. Prayer is a communication system a soldier does constantly to make the war successful. So if you don't have prayer, our faith life is not going to be successful. To stay in touch with the source of power, our command center is in heaven. And as we stay in touch with God on a constant level, continuous basis, never lose communication with the command center, because that is a very, very bad recipe for failure. So we need to continue to do in prayer and be in prayer and communication with God. So he says that every piece of armor, he says, continue to do in prayer, because it is the power of a Christian. When we stay in constant communication with God, we receive guidance, we receive strength, and we receive protection. So this battle that we face in this world is not just ourselves. All the heroes of faith had gone through this battle in this world. Jesus did, as we told. The devil tried to defeat him many times, but he used all this armor of God to win over the devil. And Job, the great saint in the Bible, who went through difficult times in his life, he also, I mean, there are many, many others, Moses, Jonah, David, Job, all of these heroes of faith, and the apostles, they all used this armor of faith to win over this war of spiritual battle in this world. So prayer is important, as we remember usually in our prayer time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. A soldier with the best armor is still vulnerable if he does not communicate with his commander. Prayer keeps us connected to our divine commander-in-chief, who is God. Prayer is like a link that connects you. If you are in a boat out there struggling to get to the shore, and somebody throws a rope or something to you, and you grab onto the rope, are you pulling the shore to yourselves, or are you pulling to the shore? When you are grabbing that rope, are you really pulling the shore to yourselves, or the shore is pulling you to the shore? God, if you grab onto that rope, he will pull you towards him every day. Otherwise, we lose our power to wage this battle in this world. So remember, as people of God, the battle is real, but the victory is ours, because Jesus won victory over all evil and sin. And he gave his life, because of his life that he gave, and we believe in that resurrection and the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the victory. The victory is ours. Through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this world, when he came and lived here and suffered and died and rose from the dead, as we continue our Lent journey and end in Easter, there is a day that there will be a resurrection, the victory over death and sin. So victory is ours. As we come before the table today, let us remind ourselves about this war that we have to win, to hold on to the communication with God, and wear these six items of armor that we talked about: the belt of truth, and let me go over that one more time. The full armor of God is the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield that we have to use as to protect ourselves and to resist ourselves from the attacks, and the shoes of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and ultimately the sword of the Spirit, and then continue in our communication with our prayer with God. May the good Lord bless us with these words during this Lent season, to stay focused and to stay closer to God during this time. Amen. The Lord's table is set and ready. It is an open table. We practice an open table. We don't stop anybody from coming. It doesn't have to be a member of the church or not. We think it is a means of grace that God has given us. So all are welcome to join as the ushers guide you. There's a laminated sheet on the pew. Please follow that for our Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood. Drink from this, all of you. It's the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, O God, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now you may come. All are welcome to the table and join the table as the ushers guide.
Nothing But the Blood, which is on page 362.
Please stand if you're able.
Blue hands.
But the blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as tomorrow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No, not the found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can force sin at all. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright. Found I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood.
People of God, the ultimate victory is ours. There's a battlefield out there that the people of faith will have to face every day. We must put on the armor of God to fight this battle, trusting in God and staying in touch with God through our prayer and meditating on His word, so that we can receive the power from above to win over this battle. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.